You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, the executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security and a former member of the EMP Commission and also a former intelligence officer with the Central Intelligence Agency and one of the world's authorities on weapons of mass destruction. Dr. Pry, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me back, Dave.
Dr. Pry, we've spoken several times about electromagnetic pulse, EMP, and how it is not a very well understood threat in relation to a nuclear attack or something along those lines. But nonetheless, it is something very serious, and it's something that is going to happen, whether by the sun or in a man-made way. But this past Wednesday, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill. The House Committee on Homeland Security, Subcommittee on Cybersecurity, Infrastructure Protection, and Security Technologies, and the hearing was actually titled The EMP Threat, Examining the Consequences.
Well, this was actually a historic hearing. Even though it may be little noted by most of the press, I consider it to be the most important hearing that we had in this year. And it may be that future historians will look back and consider this to have been a decisive moment that might have saved our nation from a future EMP catastrophe, because there was a sea change in the position on EMP taken by the Department of Homeland Security. Now, you would never gather that from their testimony, but I have to provide a little background. The single biggest impediment in the U.S. government to achieving progress on getting our nation protected from electromagnetic pulse has been the Department of Homeland Security. In 2008, when the EMP Commission had to close its doors, before it left, it made the recommendation that the Department of Homeland Security add a 16th national planning scenario. I should explain to your audience there are 15 canonical national planning scenarios that are drafted by the Department of Homeland Security. These are crucial. The national planning scenarios are the basis for all federal, state, and local emergency planning, training, and resource allocation. And if you don't have a threat that's like one of those 15 national planning scenarios, it doesn't get addressed.
Right.
And most of the so-called 15 national planning scenarios, frankly, actually kind of boil down to being one national planning scenario. Even though they have like a nuclear weapon going off in a city, and then they have chemical and biological attacks and hurricanes among the national planning scenarios, all of them have in common that they're localized or at most a regional, not even really a regional, a multi-state, a few states at the biggest in terms of what goes wrong, what happens. Also, the historical position of the DHS had been that this is not their job, especially where nuclear EMP attack is concerned. In the view of DHS, was the job of the Department of Homeland Security. Bottom line of the hearing is, we heard DOD hold forth about the EMP threat. They, of course, take it seriously. Congressman Franks was there to testify about how serious the EMP threat was and why we needed to pass the SHIELD Act. And Chris Beck, who is a Democrat, and in fact used to be the science advisor to that very committee for the Democrat side, was the minority witness, so-called. And Chris, who actually showed his commitment to this cause because he considered this to be the biggest, most important threat facing the country, such a urgent matter that he resigned his position from the committee to go work on this on a full-time basis to try to get the country protected.
Wow.
He testified. He said exactly the same things I would. Chris Beck, Democrat, and Peter Pry, conservative Republican, got a united front on this issue, and
right.
He warned about the seriousness and the urgency. And I held my breath to hear what DHS would say, and they basically are singing the same song that the EMP Commission has, that this is a serious threat, deserves to be a high priority. And most importantly, they acknowledge that DHS has responsibility to protect the critical civilian infrastructures from nuclear and natural EMP. They also kind of made a white lie to the committee in that they claimed they already had programs underway to address the EMP threat. And they do have a couple of programs underway that are relevant, that are applicable to the EMP threat. However, neither of these programs was originally conceived as being dedicated to protecting the country from EMP. They were conceived for other purposes. One of them is called the Recovery Transformer Project. We've talked before about how these big extra high voltage transformers, how critical they are to our civilization,
right,
and it could be destroyed by a nuclear natural EMP. Well, they have a program that was originally conceived not for EMP, but for a terrorist attack, for example, or if a natural disaster destroyed one or two transformers. Their idea was to come up with a kind of generic transformer that's smaller and more mobile than the existing EHV transformers so that you could quickly replace them in a couple of weeks, and this would try to avert a disaster. And these things can help you. On a larger scale, they would help on an EMP catastrophe, so I'm not against the programs, but it's just that their original justification for these programs had nothing to do with an EMP, and now they're representing them as having
right.
Being,
like, in other words, hey, we've been working on this the whole time.
That's exactly correct. The other project is called the Resilient Grid Project. It's a futuristic project being under development by their Office of Science and Technology. It's not going to produce any kind of near-term solutions because the technology is so sophisticated, kind of at the cutting edge of our current technological abilities. In effect, what they're doing is working on a new electrical transmission wire. The whole wire is like a surge arrestor, so that if it got an EMP into it, it would shut itself down. Now, this wasn't originally designed for EMP either. Their concern there was just over voltages that might be caused by accidents that happen when people mismanage the grid or the falling tree branches. If you had a falling tree branch that causes an over voltage on the line.
Right, or the squirrels, I guess, right?
Exactly, because that's what caused the great 2003 blackout. Now, this technology is applicable to EMP. It'll stop any over voltage, whether it's caused by a falling tree branch or caused by an EMP. And the idea is that if we were to replace a lot of existing wires with this new high-tech wire, it would make the grid safe from EMP, and you could also, in addition to the wire making it safe, you would be able to interconnect different electrical substations so that if some transformers got destroyed in one substation, you'd have other substations that could take over the load. They don't do that now because they are afraid that if there was a overvoltage and if it was wired that way, it would actually make matters worse by raising the possibility of destroying more transformers instead of fewer.
Right.
But with this new power line that is in effect a power line surge arrester, you get protection in both that way, both from the line itself and because it makes possible the redundant use of these substations.
But it's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen because it's too advanced.
It might never happen. The heart of the technology is based on keeping these wires extremely cold. In fact, they have to be kept near absolute zero. And that's very difficult, as you can imagine, to achieve for wires that have to run for many, many kilometers.
What do you think caused DHS to do an about-face?
I think there have been a number of factors. A prominent factor that had to have influenced their decision had to be their own White House. The Obama administration, for all of its faults, and I'm certainly no supporter of the Obama administration, but at least Obama and his science advisor actually do care. And apparently, I am told by White House staff that the president himself personally is worried about the advent of a great geomagnetic storm during the solar maximum. And his science advisor concurs in that. And the White House has been pressing. Apparently, that was one of the reasons why Presidential Policy Directive 8, which, as I explained to your audience before, bears a striking resemblance to the executive order that was written for President Bush by the Congressional EMP Commission.
Right.
Except the president wasn't in office long enough. We only got it to him a few months before there was a transition in the administration. So it's been sitting over there in the White House. And apparently, at least it triggered some thinking on their part because the principles that they advocate in Presidential Policy Directive 8 seem to be very much the same kinds of all-hazards approach and nationwide preparedness for something that threatens the critical infrastructures, just as the EMP Commission had recommended, although it's frustrating because it doesn't specifically mention EMP. However, we know that at least natural EMP was of concern to the president because one of the things that came out of Presidential Policy Directive 8 is they did a thing called the Strategic National Risk Assessment that kind of went around the Department of Homeland Security at this presidential interagency level. They put together another big study to look at, well, what are so-called meta-threats? What are the kinds of threats that could threaten the entire nation all at once, including especially the critical infrastructures? And one of the things that was in the Strategic National Risk Assessment was a great geomagnetic storm. So I think that that had to have some influence on DHS, that they're out of step with the White House. I mean, that's an embarrassing situation for any department or agency to be in when they don't have an EMP among their national planning scenarios, but the White House is on its own. I think that the pressure of the Congress, they have got to have noticed we've been pushing the Pass the Shield Act. We've been pushing numerous initiatives. They know that there's a congressional caucus on EMP that cares very much about this issue. The very fact that they had to have this hearing, this wasn't voluntary on their part, by the way. Peter King summoned the Department of Homeland Security, and I'm going to take some credit for that because I had met with Chairman King and his staff on more than one occasion, and we had recommended that they press DHS to get serious about EMP. And so I think I had some influence with the committee deciding to hold this hearing, and the fact that they had to finally go on record about the EMP threat, that alone, I think, forced them to finally get off the fence. All the data, whether Iran has almost got the bomb or going into the solar maximum, I'm sure that they, among themselves, they said, do we really want to continue this position that we've got where we're not paying attention to EMP and we're going to act like it's a non-threat and we're not engaged in preparedness, even when the White House and the Congress, I mean, they're the only ones, apparently. The Department of Defense takes it seriously. How can it not be a serious threat?
Right.
Everybody in the world except the Department of Homeland Security is sort of this little island of resistance. Mm. And unfortunately, they're the most important important department when it comes to protecting civilian critical infrastructures. I know I had some direct influence because there are people within the Department of Homeland Security that really do take this seriously. The book that we talked about, Civil Military Preparedness for Electromagnetic Pulse Attack, before I offered that to the public, my task force, we hit every member of Congress with that book. We provided it to the White House, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Homeland Security. And so that book has been out there, and I think it provides good ammunition for those within the Department of Homeland Security. In fact, I know it did for those who wanted to argue for them getting off the fence on this. And for those who have been on the fence, the book is a very hard thing for them to rebut and ignore.
Right.
So I think those things in combination finally resulted in, well, in this opening statement. And if I could just read a paragraph.
Yeah, sure. Of course, I just want to say that I know that you've had a huge impact because I just interviewed a fellow who wrote a book about EMP preparedness, and the bulk of what he got from the book to write the book was from the EMP Commission. So I think you're underestimating the impact that you've had on this, Dr. Pry.
Well, I think that this first paragraph shows that at least the EMP Commission has had enormous influence. Here I'm quoting from the witness who was Brandon Wales, representative from the Department of Homeland Security at this hearing on EMP threats, held before the House Committee on Homeland Security on September 12th. His introductory paragraph: over the past several decades, the threat to digital and physical infrastructures has grown. For example, today's power grid and information networks are much more vulnerable to EMP than those of a few decades ago. The Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from Electromagnetic Pulse Attack recommended in its final report that DHS, quote, play a leading role in spreading knowledge of the nature of prudent mitigation preparations for EMP attack and mitigate its consequences, end quote. The Department takes that recommendation seriously and welcomes, in cooperation with other government agencies, increasing understanding of this critical topic. So right there, the introductory sentence, that's basically a surrender. You know,
they basically adopted your position.
They adopted the position and specifically cite the EMP Commission as the study, the document that has finally moved them and that they are taking on board the Commission's recommendations.
Let the listeners know when the EMP Commission started and when it closed up shop.
Started in the beginning, January of 2001, and ended in December of 2008. That's a very long time for a congressional commission. So it studied this problem for nearly a decade, both the threat and the solutions to the threat. And it's the most authoritative work that has ever been done on this to date. When you're dealing with something of scientific and policy controversy like this, the whole purpose of the commission is to get all of the actors, stakeholders, experts together and see if one can come to a consensus about the nature of the threat and what can be done about it. And that the commission did. It achieved that interagency, across-government consensus. Now, this doesn't mean that there aren't going to be resistant departments and resistant individuals. It means they had their day in court and they had an opportunity to defend their views and present their views in front of the best panel of experts that this country could put together, and they lost. You know, unfortunately, bureaucracies are not always like people. And even people are oftentimes reluctant to change their minds, regardless of how strong the facts are.
Sure,
bureaucracies
of course.
Are the same way.
Right.
But that's what a commission does. And when a commission speaks, comes up with its consensus judgment, that's supposed to settle the question for purposes of public policy. Unfortunately, since 2008, DHS had not followed the rules of this game, as it were, and they found all kinds of excuses to try to ignore the commission recommendations. One of the excuses was, I was sent over there by the Democrats in 2009. Mr. Thompson, who was then the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, talked to DHS to actually try to get them to continue the EMP Commission and to accept its recommendations. And DHS, their excuse was, well, the commission had been established by the Armed Services Committees. Therefore, it doesn't have any jurisdiction over the Department of Homeland Security. And they didn't want to have anything to do with it and give it jurisdiction over the Department of Homeland Security. So they could both ignore its recommendations and not have anything to do with the commission and just
right.
go on their merry way, pretending like the only threats that the country is going to face in the future are hurricanes, normal extreme weather, and they're not even very good at dealing with those things.
Obviously.
So, yeah.
How long did the hearing go for?
Let's see. It began at 10 and it went to noon. So it was a two-hour hearing.
Okay. And how did they leave off?
I thought it left off very well. The last thing I remember from the hearing was seeing the representative from the Department of Homeland Security, what was asked by the committee, how much will it cost to protect the national electric grid from EMP? And he cited $2 billion to provide robust protection, because that was the EMP Commission estimate. I was pleased to see that he had referenced and relied on the EMP Commission estimate for his number. But then he started getting nervous because the committee kind of expressed surprise that it was such a low number. Now, they weren't challenging him. But clearly the witness got a little nervous and started jacking the number up. I don't know where he was getting the numbers. And he said, well, that's what the EMP Commission estimated, but possibly it could be more. It might be $4 billion or $6 billion. And they said, well, even if it was that much, since the consequences of a nuclear EMP attack or a great geomagnetic storm would be the loss of millions of lives and trillions of dollars, that's a still modest investment. But they were disappointed that how is it the Department of Homeland Security can't give them a number that they have confidence in? The reason is reality. They've been ignoring the problem.
What next? Another hearing, or are they going to start defending our infrastructure against an EMP attack, which more and more sounds more inevitable as the days go by?
What's next is a national planning scenario. If DHS really believes what it just said in this hearing, and then now it's officially committed to it, it needs to develop a national planning scenario for EMP. And that will be the next enormous step forward to getting us protected. Because with an EMP national planning scenario, that means that for the first time at the federal, state, and local level, we will be doing our planning and training and resource decisions based on an EMP threat. That's how the process works. That's the next thing they've got to do. I'm concerned, though, because Congress is going to be going away at the end of this week. Everyone's leaving town to run for re-election.
Right.
And that's going to take the pressure off of DHS until Congress comes back, which won't really be until next year. I mean, they come back for that lame duck session, but nothing ever gets done by then. And next year, we're going to be into the solar maximum. And in fact, we're still going to be engaged in making progress at the policy level. All of this stuff, while it's great news, it's all paper progress. It's paper progress.
So it's going to be another 10 years?
Oh, God help us. I hope not.
I know you hope not, but what do you think?
It all depends on when we can get that national planning scenario. If we can get a national planning scenario, that will start allocating resources and planning. We could actually see technical progress on starting to get the grid protected as early as next year if we got a national planning scenario now or early next year. I know the FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, who is a good guy part of the federal government on this, they are like a coiled spring. They've just been waiting for the SHIELD Act to pass or to get a green light from someone to go ahead and do this. And a national planning scenario would be one of those green lights that could make it happen.
Okay. We got to keep our fingers crossed, right? I mean, you did everything that you could do, right?
I'm continuing to do everything I can do. There are things I can do behind the scenes and overtly to these committees, for example, can make these national planning scenarios happen by pressing DHS to follow through. And so I'm going to work with the committees and the Congress and with other forces and allies within the government to do what can be done. I've done everything I can do up to this point in terms of having
right.
a hearing, but getting a national planning scenario passed, helping get the SHIELD Act passed, here's something I can do. I can give out Mr. Upton's phone number to your audience one more time.
Sure.
202-225-3761. I would recommend, even though Congress is going to be leaving, I would still call Mr. Upton before he leaves town and give him a good boot in the butt, failing to pass the SHIELD Act, that he even can leave town.
And leave us unprotected.
Yeah, leave us unprotected and go back to stand for re-election. It's disgraceful.
It
you know,
disgraceful.
If he had done one thing in the course of this term, it should have been pass the SHIELD Act. It was the most important thing that ever came into his committee. And the previous chairman, a liberal Democrat, Henry Waxman, how can it be that Fred Upton is to the left of the Obama administration and to the left of Henry Waxman on protecting the country from EMP? That's the reality when he opposes the SHIELD Act. Henry Waxman was, and the Democrats, and every Republican was all for it when the Democrats were running the House Energy and Commerce Committee. They almost got it passed. They got it all the way up to the Senate, as we discussed before. But Upton this time has been the problem and the obstacle. That's one thing I can do is ask your people to help me and call Upton so that he will have criticism ringing in his ears as he leaves town to go back to his district. And Mr. Franks made it clear in this committee hearing, and I'm so pleased to see that the committee supports the SHIELD Act and the Homeland Security Committee, not Mr. Upton's committee, but the Homeland Security Committee supports getting the electric grid protected. And we will be back. We will be back with the SHIELD Act again next year to try to ramrod that thing through. We've lost so much time.
Mm-hmm.
No, as I said before, when the commission delivered its final report back in 2008, we were optimistic about the future because the solar maximum was still so far off. At the time, it didn't look like Iran had the bomb yet. We thought we could do this and get the country protected in 3 to 5 years and moving at a leisurely pace. And all that time that we thought the Congress and relevant departments and agencies and industry were going to actually spring into action and start working has been wasted in this logjam that's the Washington bureaucracy. Everyone knows that Washington has been broken for a long time, which is another reason we need a peaceful revolution in the country. But this brokenness, this failure of the Congress could get us all killed.
Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, and I can call you this, Captain Ahab, and listeners would probably know what we mean by that if they've heard a couple of these interviews, world-renowned WMD expert and the executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, and I've said it before, I'll say it again as many times as I have to, a great American, a great man, doing something that so few people are aware of, toiling really in the wilderness, but now finally progress is made. I want to thank you so much for your time and your knowledge and your expertise, and I'm again looking forward to talking to you at the next significant juncture of this battle.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, for having me on your show and letting me try to recruit your listeners to our cause. Thank you, and thank everybody who ends up making that phone call or who talks to a neighbor or a friend about the EMP threat. Every time you take some action like that, you're being like a Minuteman of the 21st century, because the revolution that we've been talking about here that has to happen, another grassroots revolution, is going to happen in that realm of ideas. And this is a new threat that we need to protect our country against. And I thank you, Dave, and your listeners for standing shoulder to shoulder with me to try to protect our country from EMP.
My pleasure, Dr. Pry.